What's up, guys? Today's episode is brought to you by The Found Sheep.
The Found Sheep is a gospel-centered, Bible-saturated ministry and brand made to encourage believers worldwide to worship Jesus in spirit and in truth.
These are high-quality hoodies, t-shirts, beanies, and hats. Their website is foundsheepstore.com. That's foundsheepstore.com.
10% of your order goes to their local church, and then 10% goes to outreach that helps those in need all around the world. It's pretty cool.
Our discount code for Found Sheep is Not Religious, and that's going to get you 10% off of your order. That's all caps, Not Religious.
The Found Sheep, inspired by the Word.
Hey, I'm Corey Draper.
I'm Wes Allen.
And I'm Colin Harmon.
We're from the Pass Forward Podcast, and you're listening to the Not Religious Podcast.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Not Religious Podcast.
It like surprised you.
I know it did. My name is Blake.
And I'm Brian.
And, you know, nothing's going wrong in the world right now. Everything is fine. We have no issues.
No,
we don't have a lot to talk about right now.
Nope. It's just boring.
We just said, what do you want to do? Just get on here and just do something.
Talk about the weather.
Just kidding. The world is in a complete state of disarray, and it's really sad.
Before we get too serious. SpaceX.
Yeah, SpaceX. SpaceX, not space sex.
No, but that'd be cool too.
I said that too fast. SpaceX, yes.
SpaceX, so... I follow this, the page, group, something on the Facebook. Mm-hmm. It's the United States Space Force.
Yeah.
But it's not real, what I'm saying? But they have hilarious stuff on there the other day. And they put something out the other day that said, we have plenty of time to get gorilla suits and horses and be there waiting for when SpaceX lands, like Planet of the Apes.
It's a great idea.
The funniest thing I've seen.
You know what? I saw something about the SpaceX astronaut suits.
Did you watch
that they're wearing? No, I didn't. But, I saw something about the suits that they're wearing. You know that the guy that designed their suits has been... used for a lot of superhero movies.
Oh, really?
So the guy that designed their suits actually designed the helmet that Black Panther wears in Captain America Civil War.
Cool.
Yeah, and then a few other things that other superhero movies, I forgot what all they said, but that was the one that stood out to me the most. So pretty cool. Yeah, so we're back in space. You know, the other day, whenever that was happening, I was like, because people kept saying how historic it was.
It was awesome.
And I was like, And here's how completely oblivious I am to even what's happening, with anything that goes on in the news. I always stay away from it. So, like, I was like, did we not go to space before? Like, is this the first time? Are y'all admitting that we didn't go way back then? Like, what's the, I mean, it's cool. What's happening there? Like, what's the big deal?
But you have found out.
I have found out. Elon Musk and is it his space program? Yeah. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Is that the best way to put that?
Yeah. But it's the first time in a decade
that we've been
that Americans have traveled to space on an American made space. Yeah.
Where are they going?
The space station.
So it's up there. Mm-hmm. And they're going to dock and hang out.
Yep.
How long are they going to be there?
I don't know.
Interesting.
I think like maybe 2 months.
Okay. Did Tom DeLonge have anything to do with that?
No.
Is he involved?
No, I'm sure he was there at, the mission control and everything.
Yeah.
We sat down as a family and watched it. I mean, it Spectacular.
It was during the day, right?
It was.
I was working, so
it was Saturday.
It was a Saturday.
Saturday at 3 o'clock.
I could have sworn it was on like a Thursday.
It was supposed to be, but the weather canceled it, so they rescheduled it for Saturday.
That's right. That's right.
So I mean, just insane. The insane amount of speed that rocket flies.
No thanks.
You know, it started reaching. Once it reached, I mean, it was maybe a mile or two up, and it was 600 miles an hour. And wow. Avery was like, are they really going 600 miles an hour? I was like, yeah, baby, just wait.
Yeah.
Just wait. And then, like, I mean, once they're in the thousands of miles an hour, she's like, you could tell her mind exploded.
That's terrifying.
It just exploded. And then to watch the first stage rocket, the two-stage rocket, which means it's two parts.
Yeah.
Breaks off. Top and the bottom breaks off.
Yeah.
And then the second stage is what carries them to space. But the first stage came back and landed.
Whoa.
On a platform in the ocean.
Okay.
How freaking cool. Good job, is that?
Mr. Musk.
Right?
That's cool. What happens normally? Is it, it seems
the thing,
like
the thing
comes back on a parachute or whatever.
It just falls back to Earth into the ocean.
That's dangerous. What if it doesn't make it to the ocean?
Well, I mean, they have figured that out. They've done the math.
Ugh. All I know is Elon Musk named his child after his password.
Yes.
So
that's the way to do it. I wanted to.
That is cool. Absolutely.
Nice, lighthearted. Before, because we
have
some.
I got something else lighthearted before we get into the really, really heavy stuff.
What do you have?
Let's go to the news story of the week.
News story.
I will admit, I thought the same would happen to me whenever I was a child.
My mind is reeling.
Reeling? Three boys let a black widow spider bite them to try and get superpowers.
No.
No.
I really, a black widow?
I don't know.
Because it looked cool?
Unless they wanted to turn into Scarlett Johansson. Anyway, Spider-Man is a hero to so many people, but unfortunately, some kids don't realize the Marvel character receives his powers under fictional circumstances. According to a recent report from Mirror in the UK, three boys recently let a deadly Black Widow spider bite them in an attempt to gain superpowers. In fact, they specifically were hoping to turn into Spider-Man. I was wrong. According to the report, three brothers ranging from ages 8 to 12 found a spider as they were looking after their sheep in Bolivia.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Apparently, their mother was collecting wood whenever they happened to come upon the spider, and then provoked the venomous creature with the hopes of getting bitten. The children soon started exhibiting symptoms from such a spider bite, which can include severe muscle pain, abdominal cramps, increased heart rate, and muscle spasms.
Jeez.
The boys were taken to a health center and given medicine, but their condition did not improve, so they needed to be taken to a hospital in Lalagua?
Lollapalooza.
Lollapalooza. But they continued to get worse and were transferred to the children's hospital in the Bolivian capital of La Paz. After being given serum, the boys finally started to improve and were eventually released from the hospital after 5 days. Virgilio Pietro, the head of
epidemiology.
You got me.
Epidemiology. Study of spiders.
Okay. Of the health ministry spoke about the incident during a press conference related to the coronavirus. He urged parents to be cautious because for children, everything is real. Films are real. Dreams could be real. And those children are the hope of our life. Oh, man. We wish a speedy recovery to the Bolivian boys that thought they would become Spider-Man with a Black Widow spider bite. There's your first mistake. obviously you have to travel to a science lab, let a radioactive spider bite you. Come on, guys.
So you thought that was going to happen to you?
You know, for a minute there, I thought that if I've never been bitten by a spider. Never in my
life. I'm sure you've been bitten by a spider.
I really cannot remember. Maybe I just didn't know it, but there's not a time that I can remember ever being bitten by a spider. But at a young age, I did think if I ever got bit by one, I wonder if I would gain superpowers because I loved Spider-Man at a young age.
Yeah. Huh. So how old were you?
That's probably like 5 or 6.
Oh, okay.
Something like that.
Yeah.
16. The same age Peter Parker was. Anyway, all right, we're going to take a short break. And when we get back, we are going to talk about today's super heavy topic that needs to be discussed.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back shortly. Our episode today is brought to you by Active Faith Sports.
Listen, guys and gals, we get it. You want to spread the love of Jesus. You want people to know who your Savior is, but you don't want to go up into the gym handing out tracts, quoting Bible verses to people. So why not get your point across by sporting some gear from Active Faith?
That's a good idea, Brian. You can go to activefaithsports.com right now. And on top of normal gym clothes, they have headbands, socks, hats, bags, and even wristbands for just a subtle message.
All you have to do when you go to the website is use our discount code NRP116. That's NRP116. That will get you 15% off.
Okay. So,
how do you even start this?
It's a shame that we have to even talk about this.
Yeah. So Blake texts me. He's like, "Hey, what do you want to do this week?" And I was like, "I mean, there's really only one thing, that we can do." And I feel like if we didn't talk about this, it'd be wrong. You know, we have a platform.
Yeah.
Our platform deals with religion and the world and, you know, especially what happens with Americanized Christianity.
Yeah.
And I just think it would be irresponsible of us to let this pass without discussing it or at least acknowledging it. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like, I definitely feel like now is the time to have conversations.
Yeah.
And not having being complacent in conversations is acknowledging or not acknowledging. Mm-hmm. It's not acknowledging the problem. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Obviously, a lot of you are familiar with the name George Floyd. He's been, names brought up a good bit in the news and on social media lately. We just had Blackout Tuesday this past week. At the time of this recording, that was 2 days ago. Historical moment for civil rights, like you were saying earlier.
The largest display in history of a civil rights act.
Yeah.
All 50 U.S. states and 13 countries, they came together for a show of togetherness.
Mm-hmm.
And just a monumental thing, you know? And maybe not as much on Facebook, but my Instagram, because I follow a lot of famous people on Instagram, people who are interesting to me, you know, and just the amount of people who participate in this.
Yeah.
Was just over. Oh, it was overwhelming.
Yeah, it was
like
a lot.
I remember scrolling through around 8 or 9 o'clock on my Instagram, and the emotion.
Oh yeah,
it was just an overwhelming emotion of, wow.
Yeah.
Just wow. You know, I don't think I've ever been a part of something like that ever in my lifetime.
Yeah.
It's just, I guess that can be a pro coming out of this.
Yeah.
Is And I hate the fact that a man had to lose his life.
Yeah.
To get this fire started under everyone. But it seems like it's been a chain of events.
Yeah.
That's occurred in 2020.
Yeah, man. 2020 has been quite a dumpster fire so far.
Yeah.
But I saw something today. We talked about it briefly before we started. There was a post that was made about, you know, people want to like restart 2020 or let's go ahead and just skip to 2021, start over. Let's make this the year that things finally start to change. It's a shame that we're still having to talk about this.
It's a shame that we haven't talked about it until now.
And it's a shame. Yeah, you're right. This happens a whole lot more than you would imagine. And a lot of things get swept under the rug. We're going to talk about Ahmaud Arbery today. That happened back in February, and I knew nothing about it.
No one did.
No one knew a thing about it until the video footage was released showing these two guys killing this man. To think that racism died out with Martin Luther King, like everything was taken care of back then, and we don't have an issue with that anymore, it's the silliest thing in the world, you know? Especially where we live. We hear about it all the time. It's casual conversation for a lot of people.
It is.
And it's unsettling, and it just makes you feel uncomfortable.
It is. Yeah. I've made mention of this numerous times. I wasn't raised typically as a typical Southern person. I grew up in the South. Mm-hmm. Grew up in Columbia, South Carolina. I was born in Ohio. My family hails from Ohio. We moved down here when I was 6 years old. And my parents brought with them a set of values. My parents were in their 30s when they had me. So, I mean, they were already on the path of, you know, well into adulthood, and they've already established who they were. But, you know, even as young people, they lived through a time where civil rights was an issue. They lived through a time where Dr. King was alive. They've lived through a time where, you know, you could participate in marches and you could bus to DC and take part in these, you know, big events that stood for equality. And they passed that along to me growing up. They did a very good job. And I've seen this a lot too. People saying, well, I don't see color. My parents did a very good job pointing color out to me and pointing out the history of what that color means in America.
Yeah.
And recognizing that, I mean, I remember being elementary school age and having the concept of my classmates don't have the same advantages as I do.
Yeah.
I can remember being that young and having those revelations, you know, or my classmates getting in trouble harsher than what I would. I remember having those things, and I remember having questions about those things, and my eyes were open at a very young age, you know, very young age. And I think what happened is the civil rights movement was successful in opening the door for equality.
Yeah.
The misconception is once that door is open for equality and the black community steps through, they are automatically equal. And I think that's where the misconception comes in with a lot of people here in the South.
Yeah.
Is like you were saying, oh, well, you guys have rights now. Like, we're equal. And it negates the hundreds of years of trials and tribulations
Yeah.
Horrific trials and tribulations.
Yeah.
That led to that point. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like we as white America have ignored the historical oppression just because civil rights was quote unquote successful.
Yeah. So I've seen the comment made numerous times about, well, y'all talk about social injustice, but you weren't slaves, or you didn't live in the 60s when there was segregation. So you really have nothing to complain about. But this, while that may be true, while they didn't grow up in the 60s and have to deal with having to go to two separate schools or having to ride on the back of a bus or being slaves, the fact of the matter is they have still had to put up with getting pulled over for a broken taillight and getting shot in the car in front of their girlfriend and their 4-year-old daughter. They've had to deal with getting the police involved for very minor offenses that lead to them losing their life. You know what I'm saying? It's happened over and over again.
Let's not even take it to that extreme. Let's not even take it to that extreme.
Mm-hmm.
You're looked at a different way.
Yes.
You're treated a different way. Mm. Because of a stigma that, especially here in the South, is attributed to your race.
Yes.
In your culture.
Mm-hmm.
So even before we get into the issues of you could lose your life and at the flip of a switch, or your life can be in jeopardy just driving down the road, before we even get into that, I've never experienced it, you know, and I can't imagine experiencing being intentionally treated different without cause. I don't know. I saw racism a little bit in the military.
Yeah.
A little bit in the military. Not so much. I think you have those few who are, they're just, I mean, born douchebags.
Yeah.
And they're just overtly racist. Nothing. I think there's, you know, you can't avoid those guys.
Yeah.
Can't. Those are the guys who are tattooing flags on their chest or swastikas and got sheets in their closet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You can't avoid those guys.
Right.
But in the military, I really didn't see a lot of racism. I saw racism, but it was from that fringe group of people who were like, look, this hick from Kentucky.
Yeah.
Or South Carolina, wherever, Michigan. Yeah. He hates black people and nothing is going to change his mind.
Yeah.
But there were guys who since then gotten out of the military, friends on Facebook, who I have realized are racist.
Yeah.
Are racist. But being in the military with these guys, I wouldn't have known that. And I think it was a different environment, maybe, because even though it's so strange, even though they were racist, like they fought together.
Yeah.
They put their lives on the line for one another.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's attributed to the same thing when you hear someone say, well, I have black friends. Well, that's great. Those are your friends. How do you treat people who aren't your friends?
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of how I look at racism. And when I was in the military is, okay, great. You know, these are your bros, your brothers. You know, go to war with them, but how do you treat the cashier?
Yeah.
How do you treat, you know, the bank manager? How do you treat other people?
Do you lock the door every time you see a black man walk around in the parking lot if you're sitting in your car?
Right. Like what?
That might be an issue.
Right.
Does it anger you to see videos of people protesting, even if it's peaceful protesting? Does it anger you in some way? You might have an issue. Check your heart.
I think we were talking earlier, and I've come to the conclusion that there's two sides that we as white Christians land on.
Yeah.
White Americans, white Christians, right? White Christian Americans.
Yeah.
I think you lean on two sides. And I think it's as simple as this. If you're a white person and all of this is happening, and if your heart isn't broken and you don't have the overwhelming desire to say, I see you, I respect you, help me fix this. Tell me your pain. Tell me your injustice. I'm sorry this happens for you. I'm broken now because of this. Yeah. Because this has been brought to my attention, and it should have been in my attention a long time ago.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think the line is drawn there. If you have any other emotion or thought other than that, I think it's fair to say you have some problems with race.
You need to think about it. Just. And
I'm not going to call you racist.
Won't call you racist.
But you have some problems.
But consider the fact that maybe you have an issue. Don't think that you're so high and mighty that there's no way you can be that way. Well, I'm not like that. But I don't know, man.
And then what you have on the flip side is you have people who would say, well, you condone the looting, you condone the violence and the and the destruction, and you, of course not.
Yeah.
Of course I don't condone that.
Yeah.
But I see you.
Mm-hmm.
I understand what is happening.
Mm-hmm.
I don't condone it. I wish it wouldn't happen. But I understand it.
I don't want people to get hurt.
I don't want stuff to get set on fire.
But at what point do we have to, as a human race, at what point, what is it going to take for us to just be like, okay, I understand what you're saying? Because there's been plenty of attempts to do peaceful protests in the past. And
Kaepernick,
man, listen.
We did an episode.
We did a whole episode. It was like one of our first episodes all about Colin Kaepernick and taking a knee. All the man was doing was taking a knee to bring awareness to the cause.
And now people are like, oh.
Exactly.
And here's the deal. If you haven't said, oh, mm-hmm. then you might have some things
right.
that you need to maybe think about, address.
The issue with what happened with Kaepernick is people didn't see the cause. All they saw was, well, that man disrespects this country. He kneels during, what was it, the Pledge of Allegiance
or
the national anthem. That's disrespectful to our country. And that goes right back to...
I mean, Trump told him he was un-American.
Exactly. So you listen to what one man has to say about it, and you base your whole thought process on what on one man and his very radical opinions have to say about certain people. And it irks me because the time is not taken to even consider what is Kaepernick doing this for and then researching it. Instead, you look at Black Lives Matter as a hate group or a terrorist group, which I've heard them called several times. I'm like, that's not it. Look at what the cause is. Go to the website. Read what the cause and the movement is all about. They're not a hate group. It's not. It's just, it's an organization meant to bring awareness to racism that still lives and breathes in this country and the world.
But, yeah.
And
we segued into Trump there.
Yeah.
You know,
it's hard to avoid that during all this, because it's not helping things.
Here's the deal. I'm gonna touch on Trump real quick.
Yeah.
And then I don't want to spend too much time on Trump.
No.
So have you ever watched The Daily Show? Are you familiar with Daily Show?
Used to
be Jon Stewart. No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Mostly when Jon Stewart was on.
Okay. So made fun of everyone.
Yeah. No one was safe.
No one was safe.
That was the good part about it.
Right. So I'm not a fan of Trump. Mm-hmm. I'm not a Trump supporter. Mm-hmm. But he is the president of the United States. Mm-hmm. I respect that office. Mm-hmm. I respect President Trump. Mm-hmm. Respected.
Past tense.
President Trump. I did not support him, mm-hmm. but I could recognize his achievements. Mm-hmm. I can recognize that what he was doing for the country and succeeded in was good. I can recognize that. I can also, as an observer, say, man, the Democrats are trying everything they can to ruin this dude's presidency.
Yeah.
I can say that. Mm-hmm. I can say that and acknowledge that. I never supported him. But I respected him and respected his office and gave him the respect that was due. Until after what happened with George Floyd and the riots that were breaking out, he sent out a tweet that said, "These thugs," in all caps, "are dishonoring the memory of George Floyd, and I will not let it happen." Just spoke to the governor and told him the military is with him all the way. Any difficulty, and we will assume control. But when the looting starts, the shooting starts. I lost all respect for President Trump right there.
When just a few short weeks ago, there was countless tweets, posts made by Trump about people that were fed up with having the world shut down because of the virus. And they had their own protests outside of, you know, state houses, and they brought their own weapons too. You know, they looked like they were going to war, like sitting outside of these federal office buildings and was ready to, for something to go down, and they were praised, you know, and the comment that was made was, you know, these are good citizens that are just fed up with the state of the world right now, and I respect them, yada, 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 that type of thing. And then a few weeks later, people that are protesting what's happening to the black community, it suddenly are thugs, looting leads to shooting. The man's willing to put his own people down. And, you know, we briefly talked about this before we got started too. It's just, there's so much division as it is, especially when he was elected. I mean, it was bad. I was worried whenever he got elected because I knew that he didn't have a whole lot of supporters. And everyone was very vocal about that. And I really have not seen anything but division just continue, because it's very much, if you don't support him, like I said, I saw something on Facebook the other day. It was a picture of him. It said, "If you don't support this man, get the hell off my friends list." Oh my God. Like, I can't disagree with you. I just don't understand.
Yeah.
There's so much division, and it's just breeding more and more and more. It's really sad. And, I don't know, man. These are scary times that we live in, but let's make 2020 the year that things finally start to change. Open your eyes to what's happening around you. Don't be complacent about it anymore. Don't sweep it under the rug and act like it's not that big of a deal. These are serious matters, and they need to start taking them more seriously.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wanted to kind of touch on what's happening with some cases. A lot of people are familiar with the George Floyd case. Maybe there's a few that you're not familiar with. And honestly, you could do a whole separate podcast with details on all of these people and more.
This is just what we know about because it's been brought to light, mostly because of video that's been put out. Yeah. This doesn't begin to scratch the surface of what happens on a daily basis.
Yeah. So again, George Floyd, everyone's really familiar with that name right now. On May 25th, Minneapolis police officers arrested George Floyd, a 46-year-old black man, after a deli employee called 911, accusing him of buying cigarettes with a counterfeit $20 bill. That was why the police were called.
That's the crime.
That's the crime. You've seen the cell phone footage of him being detained, of him laying down on the street with his with the cop, his knee on his neck, restraining him, had him down there for 9 minutes. The combined, this is from the coroner's report, the combined effects of Mr. Floyd being restrained by the police, his underlying health conditions, and any potential intoxicants in his system likely contributed to his death, was the official statement that was put out. A lot of people are like, well, and here's what frustrates me too. The justification of him dying. Well, he had health issues. Doesn't matter. The fact that he was pinned down like that for 9 minutes said that he was resisting.
Well, here's
have you
the
watched the video?
Yes.
Did you see any resisting?
No.
Neither.
You don't see the entire interaction. But here's the deal. I don't know Mr. Floyd well, if at all. What I've read about him leads me to believe he was not running a counterfeit money laundering business.
Yeah.
Any one of us who exchange currency in the United States or abroad. Any one of us who exchange currency can be in the possession of a counterfeit bill.
Yeah.
Without knowledge of it.
At some point.
At any time.
Yeah.
I'm sure it happens a lot.
Oh, yeah.
A good percentage of the time. There's a lot of counterfeit money out there.
Yeah.
That's the reason they came out with new bills and marking technology.
Yeah.
To tell if they were counterfeit. So, that being said, I don't think Mr. Floyd was giving him the benefit of the doubt. Now, I don't think he was a counterfeiter. Okay. I feel like he had, and nor did they find any other counterfeit money on his person.
Right.
Nor did they find any counterfeit money at his home. He had one counterfeit $20 bill. He had other bills in his wallet that were not counterfeit. The residents of his home had bills in their possession were not counterfeit. So, imagine you go, what did he buy here? About a
cigarettes.
Pack of cigarettes. We don't smoke. Imagine you go into Circle K or wherever and you purchase a hot dog and a big drink. And you pass the clerk the money. They exchange it. You leave. And then the clerk tests the money. And it's counterfeit. They call the cops. The cops find you and approach you about having counterfeit money or passing a counterfeit bill.
Right.
And you tell them, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Right.
But you're apprehended and searched anyway. I think I'd be a little combatant.
Oh, yeah.
With that as well.
Yeah.
Get your hands off me. No, don't. You have no right to Mm-hmm. Look in my pockets. I don't know anything.
How dare
what
you
are you talking about?
Doing that.
Right.
That's a natural
reaction.
Get out
of my face. What are you even talking about,
anyone
man?
Anyone that's had
I'm just trying to buy cigarettes.
Right. And anyone that's had any type of interaction with the police when you're on the other side, whether that's getting a speeding ticket. I mean, how many times have you heard about people getting pulled over and they're like, "Officer dickhead over there."
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
not respecting the police. No, 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 so no. Don't even feed me that crap about you. I respect the boys in blue. Shut up, man.
No.
Because every time you get a speeding ticket, you have all kind of obscene names that you, me included.
Definitely.
I have definitely
oh,
done
yes,
that.
You have.
All the times that I've been pulled over, I'm like, this. know? Anyway, continue.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
imagine, put yourself in that situation.
It's a very offensive thing to be accused of.
Whoa, what the crap How are you talking? I'm an honest,
exactly.
hardworking man.
This is my money that I've earned, and
what
all I want to do
is
buy cigarettes.
What are you talking about, man? Exactly. Get out of my face.
Yeah. Yep.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So... that is what is being considered resisting. And yeah. when they tried to put their hands on him, he's like, get off of me.
Yeah.
You don't have a right. Get off. Get the freaking crap off
get
me.
Get your
man.
Hands off of me. It's right. not it's not like I killed somebody.
Right.
That you're about to commit.
Right. So that is the resisting. And then once you're in handcuffs, get me out of this.
Yeah.
What? Why
takes,
am I
man.
In handcuffs?
That's all it takes.
And all it takes is a shoulder shrug or a movement of the body up against one of the cops, mm-hmm. and you're on the ground.
So, tell me, I just don't know because I've never had any interest in the law enforcement.
And I've been in law enforcement.
And you have been in law enforcement. The act of pinning someone down in that nature... I've heard is not something that is taught.
No.
At all.
No.
Right. Okay.
Just so there's, so when, at least how I was taught, mm-hmm. and I would venture to say, I know a lot of cops, been around a lot of cops, they will tell you the same thing.
Yeah.
First of all, there's no need for three people unless homeboy is jacked
yeah.
and jacked up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you're dealing with a 6'4", 275-pound...
sweaty man.
Big dude.
Yeah.
There's zero reason, and he's flailing around, zero reason that you cannot control that subject.
Right.
Because, number one, he's handcuffed. When you handcuff someone behind their back,
yeah,
you have... And I'll demonstrate this to anyone. Let me handcuff you behind your back. I have almost complete autonomous control
yeah.
over your body.
Right.
With just leverage and tension that I put on your wrists, the way I can move those handcuffs, mm-hmm. I can bring you to your knees, I can pick you up, I can do a lot of things yeah. while you're in handcuffs to control you. Once you have someone on the ground, number one, you are never, never to pass their shoulders with any part of your body. And that's out of safety for you and out of safety for that person. Because once you get past the shoulders, there's now a variable that you cannot control, that head.
Mm-hmm.
So they can bite you, they can spit on you, whatever. Plus, the head is the most vulnerable part of a person's body. Your goal is not to harm that person. So you want to steer clear of the head. Mm. You do not cross the shoulders. Your knee goes into the small of the back, right where that tramp stamp would be. That's the way they used to teach it. Knee goes into the small of the back, knee that tramp stamp, your foot goes in between their legs, gaining control of both legs.
Mm-hmm.
Your the foot that has the knee into the back, and your other leg goes out almost like a tripod to maintain leverage on the subject,
mm-hmm.
ensuring that they can't get up.
Right.
It's a physics thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is taught at probably every police academy across the country.
Yeah.
Now, if two officers are needed to subdue someone, the same officer, the first officer holds his position. The other officer then turns his body on the opposite side of where that protruding leg from the first officer is, turns his body, faces the other officer, puts his elbow in between the shoulder blades, mm-hmm. and puts pressure there. Mm-hmm. There should be no movement from a person after that.
Yeah.
If they're resisting, they're going to wear themselves out.
Yeah.
Why three people were on him, I have no idea. Why that man's knee was on his neck. His neck. Think about that.
Yeah.
His neck.
And that's not the first time that Derek Chauvin has been.
No, he has a long history of.
He's a serial killer.
I mean.
Plain and simple.
I mean, by definition.
By definition, Derek Chauvin is a serial killer. Which, at the time of this recording, I've heard today on the news when I was at work that they are charging him with second degree murder. Yeah. And then the other three police officers, aiding and abetting, right? And that,
yeah.
What the charge was, I think.
I believe so.
So
you sent me a picture of those guys and then a question mark.
Yeah.
What was that about?
So I saw, they posted pictures of their, mugshots in their new bright, shiny orange jumpsuits, right? Those are the four officers. I saw this picture shared at least three or four times on Facebook of the other four, what they thought were officers, and one of them was definitely not anywhere close to the guy that was actually arrested. It just goes to show you that people share crap on Facebook all the time without looking into it at all. And I swear one of them, I couldn't quite place where the one guy was from, but I'm pretty sure he was like a Disney actor.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
The comment was, look, they weren't all white guys. One was black, one was Latino.
It's not white versus black.
Quit making it white versus black.
That's not what it is.
Right.
It's the oppression and the discriminatory actions taken against black people.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Very
minor.
It's
not a white-black thing.
He was accused. Just let that sink in a minute. Just think about what George Floyd was even being, why he was even being approached by the police in the first place. The man was accused of buying cigarettes with a fake $20 bill.
But the caller said he was acting strange. Okay.
Yeah.
Strange, like cutting people and licking their blood?
Right.
No. Strange, like being a pervert on the side of the street? No. Strange, like brandishing a weapon? No.
Well, people are, and I haven't watched the whole video because it was like 20 minutes long. I didn't have the time to do it, but there's a video of someone who came out and was talking about how they didn't support the movement in the name of George Floyd because of his criminal record. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, not even one bit. And if you are trying to justify it with stuff like that, you need to check yourself. It's a problem.
That's a problem.
Yes. But another issue with this stuff is that it takes so long for any type of action to be taken against the police that are doing these things. Not even the police. We're about to talk about Ahmaud Arbery in just a second here. This is a disgusting thing that happened to him. Ahmaud Arbery was jogging. This is also familiar this year. People are more familiar with it now. He was jogging outside of Brunswick, Georgia on February 23rd is when this took place. When Gregory McMichael and his son, Travis, who are white, mind you, chased after him and they ran him down in a truck. Have you seen the video footage of it?
They blocked the road with the truck.
Right. They chase him down.
Ahmad tries to run around it, and he's met with there's a guy in the bed of the truck with a gun, and then he's met with another guy with a gun.
Right.
In the front of the truck.
So Arbery and Travis McMichael, the son, they struggled over the shotgun that he was carrying, and Arbery got shot 3 times. Gregory McMichael told the police that Arbery attacked his son. Video evidence shows that that's not the case. And people were like, well, why would there be an altercation in the first place? Why didn't he just listen to what they were saying? These two douchebags have no right to be chasing people down and taking matters into their own hands.
And I know there's a law in that state where civilians have the right to take some civil arrest actions if they feel like their property is being, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, if I'm going down the road and whoever, I don't care what color they are, come up to me with a gun, it's fight or flight.
Yeah.
And are giving me commands to stop and trying to order me to do something. Mm. No, sir. No, sir.
Yeah. Well, Arbery's family said that he was jogging through the neighborhood like normal. That's what he did. He did it every day. He was going through the neighborhood, and the video kind of shows him stopping by a house.
In shorts, light-color shorts,
right,
and a white shirt. You know, what normal burglars wear in the middle of the day.
Yeah, and it was under construction. They were working on it. And that's when the McMichaels noticed that. And there had been some break-ins that had been happening around that neighborhood that they didn't even live in, but they knew about it. And they were just in the area working on the house.
Here's what happens in that situation. You get in your truck. You follow the young man while you call the authorities.
Right.
Then you report it to the authorities. At what point does it become a good idea to say, we're going to go get this dude?
Yeah. So there was a Facebook group that was started for the support of the McMichaels, and it's the most disgusting thing because in the comments it said these two God-fearing men. First off, that's like the first line of the bio for this thing. These two God-fearing men were just trying to protect their neighborhood. Again, they didn't live there. They didn't live in the neighborhood. Idiots.
A neighborhood.
And Mr. Arbery wouldn't even comply with
simple
commands that they were giving him. Again, they have no rights to be commanding anything of him because they are not the authorities at all. It's just anyway. Gregory McMichael and his son Travis were taken into custody on May 7th. This happened on February 23rd. They didn't get arrested until May 7th.
Let this sink in for a moment. It is not like, first of all, this young man was killed in cold blood.
Yeah.
Killed in cold blood in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
In the street. So it's not like when the cops got on the scene, no one was around but this young man's body. Mm-hmm. The McMichaels were there. And admitted to shooting this young man. Mm-hmm. Normal police procedure, regardless of the circumstances surrounding the shooting. Mm-hmm. When there is a homicide, mm-hmm. and especially if you have someone who says, I'm the one who shot them. Mm-hmm. They are immediately taken into custody mm-hmm. under the pretense of murder. Mm-hmm. Point blank, period. That is the only thing that should have happened.
Yeah.
The only thing. If cops show up to a domestic call, they come into the house, husband's dead on the floor, wife says, I shot him, he beats me every day.
Yeah.
I shot him. What happens to the wife? Immediately arrested, mm-hmm. immediately booked for murder.
Right.
These men were not taken into custody until May 7th. Mm-hmm. Only because
of cell phone footage that was released.
The only reason. Mm-hmm. The only reason. If that footage had never been released, these two men would have got away with cold-blooded murder.
Think about how many...
Because of who they were.
Right. Yep.
Because of their affiliation with the law enforcement department.
Mm-hmm. And think about how much that has probably happened in the past whenever cell phones weren't easily accessible, you know, where you can just pull them out and just take a video real quick and you can have it posted to YouTube or Instagram in a matter of seconds.
So I read something, the statistical analysis on what's been released within the past 4 months pertaining to wrongful death involving anyone mm-hmm. and African Americans based on what's been released per cell phone footage in the last couple months. And then they ran some crazy algorithm or whatever of population demographics and how many people have access to cell phones and things like that. So the statistic is this sort of thing happens at least 9 times a day.
Good God.
Think about that. Mm-hmm. Even if it were half of 9 times a day. A third,
yeah,
a tenth,
yeah.
You know, of 9 times a day, any time of day is wrong.
Yeah. Even once, it's not
wrong.
It's just not right. Breonna Taylor, you said you weren't familiar with this case. Mm-mm. Breonna Taylor, this happened a little while ago, or a few months ago, this year. In mid-March, police officers barged into Breonna Taylor's home in Louisville, Kentucky, in the middle of the night, and discharged a spray of bullets that struck and killed the 26-year-old EMT. According to the search warrant, police believed that a suspected drug dealer named Jamarcus Glover, who did not live with Taylor, by the way, and had already been arrested somewhere else, was keeping drugs or money at her house. Kenneth Walker, her boyfriend, thinking that the plainclothes officers, by the way, were intruders, he called 911. He then pulled out his gun and fired a shot at one of the officers' leg. At the officer's leg. Yep. And then the officers responded with more than 20 rounds of bullets that sailed through the kitchen and the living room, fatally striking Taylor 8 times. The officers found no drugs on the premises. They promptly charged Walker with attempted murder. Walker was a legally registered gun owner, and Kentucky's Stand Your Ground law allows people to use deadly force against an intruder at their home. So, everything that Walker did was right. Was in line with what the laws are in Kentucky. Showing up to the lady's house, suspecting of a notorious drug dealer, keeping money there, already been arrested. Totally.
Not that he was there, but just keeping money there. Just
keeping stuff there, right. Drugs and money. They barge into the house.
Middle of the night.
Boyfriend gets woken up and he's like, crap, someone's breaking into the house. He did the right thing. He called 911. He got himself ready. They didn't even look like police officers. They come into the house. He's defending the home front, fires one shot, and they just unloaded and killed this young lady. And God, it's sad. It's horrible. Eric Garner. You remember him a few years ago?
Yeah.
On July 17th, Eric Garner died in the New York City borough of Staten Island after Daniel Pantaleo, a New York City police officer, put him in a chokehold while arresting him. NYPD officers approached Garner on July 17th on suspicion of selling single cigarettes from packs without tax stamps. After Garner told the police that he was tired of being harassed and that he was not selling cigarettes, again, just fed up with, dude, leave me alone, you know? The officers attempted to arrest him. When Pantaleo placed his hands on Garner, Garner refused to cooperate and pulled his arms away. Pantaleo then placed his arm around Garner's neck and wrestled him to the ground. With multiple officers restraining him, Garner repeated the words, "I can't breathe," 11 times while lying face down on the ground on the sidewalk. After Garner lost consciousness, officers turned him onto his side to ease his breathing. They had to wait for him to pass out before they tried to ease up the breathing.
Yeah.
Garner remained lying on the sidewalk for 7 minutes while the officers waited for an ambulance to arrive. Garner was pronounced dead at the at an area hospital approximately 1 hour later. On December 3rd of 2014, a Richmond County grand jury decided not to indict Pantaleo. This decision stirred public protests and rallies with charges of police brutality made by protesters. By December 28th of 2014, at least 50 demonstrations had been held nationwide in response to the Garner case, while hundreds of demonstrations against general police brutality counted Garner as a focal point. On July, do you remember wearing the t-shirts that said, "I can't breathe"? Yeah. Kobe wore one.
Yeah.
On July 13th of 2015, an out-of-court settlement was announced in which the city of New York would pay the Garner family $5.9 million.
But homeboy was not
found. Yeah. In 2019, the U.S. Department of Justice declined to bring criminal charges against Pantaleo under federal civil rights laws. A New York City Police Department disciplinary hearing regarding Pantaleo's treatment of Garner was held in the summer of 2019. On August 2nd of 2019, an administrative judge recommended that Pantaleo's employment be terminated. Pantaleo was fired on August 19th of 2019, more than 5 years after Garner's death. It just doesn't happen soon enough. Right? You know what I'm saying?
And this is why people are getting fed
up. This is why they're fed up. Philando Castile. Castile was driving with his partner Diamond Reynolds and her four-year-old daughter when at 9 p.m., their vehicle was pulled over for a broken taillight by Geronimo Yanez and another officer in a suburb of St. Paul, Minnesota. After being asked for his licensing registration, Castile told Officer Yanez that he had a firearm, which he was licensed to carry, to which Yanez replied, "Don't reach for it then." They had a little bit exchange, and he said, "I'm just reaching for my, doesn't matter, don't pull it out." He just kept saying it. "I'm not going to pull it out. Don't pull it out." It turned into this altercation. Next thing you know, he shoots Castile at close range 7 times with the 4-year-old in the back. He only hit him 5 times out of the 7, but Castile died at 9:37 p.m. at a hospital nearby about 20 minutes after being shot. There were local and national protests, and 5 months after the incident, Yanez was charged with second-degree murder. 5 months after this happened, was charged with second-degree manslaughter and 2 counts of dangerous discharge of a firearm. After 5 days of deliberation, he was acquitted of all charges on June 16th, 2017, in a jury trial and was immediately fired by the city of St. Anthony. That's the heartbreaking video that the woman like pulled out her phone like immediately after he got shot. Mm-hmm. You have to see the man sitting there bleeding out in the car.
Again, this just leads to where we're at now.
Yeah.
And here's the deal. This is what we know about.
Yeah.
The black community knows about a lot more than this.
Oh, definitely.
We don't hear about it.
Yep. The last one I'm gonna talk about on this episode is the one that really he's the one that sparked the Black Lives Matter movement. Trayvon Martin, very controversial case from 2012. On the night of February 26, 2012, in Sanford, Florida, George Zimmerman fatally shot Trayvon Martin, a 17-year-old African-American high school student. Zimmerman was the neighborhood watch coordinator for his gated community, where Martin was visiting his relatives at the time of the shooting. Zimmerman shot Martin, who was unarmed, during a physical altercation between the two. Zimmerman, injured during the encounter, claimed that he claimed self-defense in the confrontation. In a widely reported trial, Zimmerman was charged with murder for Martin's death, but acquitted at trial after claiming self-defense. The incident was reviewed by the Department of Justice for potential civil rights violations, but no additional charges were filed, citing insufficient evidence.
Yeah.
So, had his whole life ahead of him, was unarmed, whatever kind of altercation they got in, probably because the man
was neighborhood watch coordinator.
Sure. And pulled a gun on him. You know, it's just really sad. It's heartbreaking to even talk about.
Hey, here's the deal. And we're going to go to a break. But before we go to a break, I have a 16-year-old son. He'll be 17 next month.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about this happening to him. And that's sad to say.
Yeah.
Not because he's an outstanding kid or anything like that.
Yeah.
By the color of his skin.
Mm-hmm. White privilege is a thing. And to think it doesn't exist.
If he were walking around the neighborhood watch coordinator comes up to him, would not escalate. Mm-hmm. Even if my son resisted.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a break. We'll be back in a minute. This episode of NRP is brought to you by Pillar of Hope Apparel.
Great faith-based clothing to show off at the gym, at church, running errands, wherever.
In addition to hats and t-shirts, they also have some really cool-looking phone cases.
You can check these out at their website, pillarofhopeapparel.com. That's pillarofhopeapparel.com.
Make sure to use our promo code NRP116 for 10% off your order. That's pillarofhopeapparel.com. So this doesn't get brought up very much when we're talking about lives being cut short. I mean, they may touch on it briefly, but, you know, I found some things for these six people that we've talked about that maybe you just didn't know about them. George Floyd was a mentor to a generation of young men in the neighborhood or the area that he lived in. People described him as a person of peace, ushering in numerous ministries into the Minneapolis area. So despite what you say about him being a thug and you're trying to rationalize, you know, well, if he would have been living right, then the police wouldn't have to have gotten involved. Just shut up. Ahmaud Arbery, he wanted to become an electrician, following the footsteps of his three uncles. He attended South Georgia Technical College for about a year, about a year and a half, but stopped whenever money got tight for the family. Lee Merritt, who was an attorney for the Arbery family, said that an unfinished property, like the house he was jogging by, is an electrician's dream, and suspects that Arbery was just observing the electrical work at the house.
Definitely.
Yeah. Which you're way more familiar with that.
Dude, I can't tell you how many times Lee and I both, or just anyone, mm-hmm. would see an unfinished house in the neighborhood or whatever.
Yeah.
And you go look at it.
Yeah.
You want to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm. And you're allowed to. To an extent.
To an extent, yeah. Right. I mean, sure, you're trespassing, but...
Yeah.
You're just looking around, man. You're just looking.
Yeah. Breonna Taylor, we mentioned before that she was a certified EMT, but she actually had two jobs at two different hospitals in Louisville. She had a whole plan of becoming a nurse and buying a house and then starting a family, to which she'll never live out now. Eric Garner worked as a mechanic and then in the city's horticulture department for several years before health problems, including his asthma, sleep apnea, and complications from diabetes, forced him to quit. He had 6 children, ranging in ages from 18 years to 3 months.
Wow.
Yeah. And was with his wife, Esau, for over 20 years.
Wow.
Although Garner was known in this community as a gentle giant, he was arrested over 30 times in his life, mostly for lower-level offenses such as selling untaxed cigarettes, driving without a license, and marijuana possession. But see, that's where the frustration is. I've been arrested all this time, and just because I have a rap sheet, y'all single me out every single time. I'm getting tired of it. And that's what he was expressing to the cops. I'm tired of y'all doing that.
Even if he was guilty of selling untaxed cigarettes, exactly. He doesn't deserve to die.
Doesn't deserve to die. Philando Castile graduated from St. Paul Central High School in 2001 and got a job working at the St. Paul Public School District from 2002 until his death, right out of high school. Worked the same place. Castile took an interest in the field of nutrition and started his career as a nutrition services assistant at Chelsea Heights Elementary School and Arlington High School, both in St. Paul, Minnesota. He then moved on to a higher position at J.J. Hill Montessori Magnet School in St. Paul in August of 2014. In remembrance of Philando Castile, the Philando Castile Memorial Scholarship was established at St. Paul Central High School. I watched a video recently in researching all this about him. And they said that the students that he was at those schools were just completely heartbroken when they heard about what happened to him. You know, he impacted a lot of young people, and it bums me out.
Yeah.
And then Trayvon Martin, of course, with his death in 2012, he became the first catalyst for the national Black Lives Matter movement. He was interested in aviation and he was studying to become a pilot. So with that and the talk of Black Lives Matter and people thinking that it's a hate group, thinking that it's a terrorist organization, the first response out of a lot of people's mouths are, well, all lives matter. You shared this on Facebook the other day and I wanted to read it because I think it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Instead of saying all lives matter, Jesus said Samaritan lives matter. Instead of saying all lives matter, Jesus said children's lives matter. Instead of saying all lives matter, Jesus said Gentile lives matter. Jewish lives matter. Women's lives matter. Lepers' lives matter. Even though Jesus loves everyone, even to the point of dying for their sins, he went out of his way to intentionally help specific groups of people, the alienated, mistreated, and those facing injustice. So saying Black Lives Matter and participating in a movement seeking justice, positive reform, and empowerment is one of the most Christ-like things that we can do.
Yeah, I got tired of seeing people arguing the point, all lives matter.
Yeah.
You know, alluding to the fact that just because I say Black Lives Matter, I'm saying that no one else's lives matter, but Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. That's not the point.
Right.
The point is, right now, Black lives need to matter.
Yeah.
And they don't. They need to, and they don't. That's the point. I don't think you can be any more Christ-like. We're called to the oppressed, to the sick, the widows, the children. We're called to be there for any group of people who are going through that. And right now, it's the Black community.
Yeah.
Not saying that Black community lives are more important, but they are important. And right now, and in our past, they haven't been. Mm-hmm. That's what we're saying. Listen, like, as what were you about to say?
I like the analogy too of the Jesus leaves the 99 because of the one. And the 99's like, hey, what about us? He's like, not saying that you're not important.
I'll be with you in a minute. I need to help him out.
But I gotta help this one.
You know, as a middle class white guy,
mm-hmm.
I need to be more aware of what my black brothers and sisters are going through.
Yeah.
And I take responsibility for that. Since all this has happened, I've reached out to people whom I'm close to that I have contact with who are black, and I've sent this text to them. I've asked them, do you have a minute?
Yeah.
And they normally respond, yeah, what's up? And I'll just say, you know, everything's good, going good. I just want to tell you that I love you. If I've ever done anything to make you feel like you were not my equal, I am sorry. Just with everything going on right now, I want to reach out to you and let you know in my heart of hearts, you are my equal. If there's ever anything that comes up that you wish to make me aware of, I want to hear it. Regardless of it, if it involves me or anyone else, please bring it to my attention. And this is just a response from our buddy Lance.
Yeah.
He said, wow, that's big. It's very important that we say that tough statement to each other. And then he goes to this. If I said or made you feel uncomfortable, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
To tell you the truth, I've been struggling feeling that we have two sides. We know Jesus doesn't operate that way. But regarding our leaders on both sides of the aisle, they have forgotten about Jesus. Thank you, brother, and I receive it in the name of God.
Dang.
Even with me reaching out to him, he reaches back to me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I wanted to just take a second. The Christian outlook on this should only be one outlook, and that should be, I've recognized the injustice, and I want to be part of the change. Mm-hmm. If it's anything other than that, it's not the true representation of Christ. And I have seen many, 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 many Christian responses to everything going on, deflecting responsibility, deflecting their role in things or any role outside of what it should be. And you know, another thing that I'm seeing, and this is mostly from the boomer generation of Christians, is in response to the riots and the looting and the vandalism, they're quoting scripture, saying that these things aren't biblical. While I could argue against that for an hour, I'm just going to simply say, stop trying to project your biblical standards onto other people.
Yeah.
Who might not have those same biblical standards.
Yeah.
Stop trying to project your ideology,
yes,
onto the mass of people who are feeling oppressed and hurt and broken right now.
Mm-hmm. Plain and simple.
Yeah.
If you feel like you want to change things and really make a difference, start by searching your own heart and what upsets you in this whole thing. Is it seeing pictures and videos of protests and it angers you because you don't understand the need for it and you're willing to start making a change, that's good. That's a good start. It's a good start. And you can post your support. You can do whatever. Also, if you're interested in donating to some charities that are out there. There's plenty of great ones. I reached out to Claire today because a few days ago she shared a link to all these great charities you can give to if you're interested. But it was on her story, so like I couldn't go back and find it. So I texted her, and she sent me several things that you can look into. And I posted on our Instagram page, in our bio, there's a link to this website that has like a list of like 15 different charities that are really good ones to give to. Some of them including BlackLivesMatter.com, the George Floyd Memorial Fund on GoFundMe, the Loveland Foundation, the NAACP's Legal Defense and Educational Fund, and many more. So you can go to townandcountrymag.com, and that was the link that she sent me. Again, it's on our Instagram page in our bio. Click that if you feel the need. Also, State Sticks, our buddy AJ that owns the drumstick company.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, he is donating all the proceeds minus shipping to a charity pertaining to the murders of George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, and Breonna Taylor.
He did something cool the other day. He went live.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, this is a form for all my white brothers and sisters. I just want you to sit back and listen. Mm-hmm. Black people, come on here and tell us your stories.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was, you know, I watched a little bit of it. I was like, man, this is awesome.
Yeah.
This is very, very, this is what we need.
Yeah.
This is exactly what we need to feel what you're feeling.
Right.
Not that we should have to feel it to be on your side. But man, we need a slap in the face.
Yeah.
We need to be slapped in the face.
Absolutely. For sure. Claire also sent me something. She's got two friends of hers that are doing a fundraiser for Black Lives Matter, and they're doing burpees to raise money. And they said that they've raised $2,000 so far. So if you're interested in giving to that, for every dollar that you give, they do a burpee. So you can go check out their two Instagram pages. It's at Carly McCoyne and at Darcy Jennings on Instagram. Go check it out. You can find more info about that. Claire said, please make them do more burpees. So thanks, Claire. Appreciate that. We're going to take another break, and we'll do some music in just a second.
This episode of Not Religious Podcast is brought to you by our good friends at Faith Attire.
Faith is an acronym for finding answers in the heart.
It's apparel that spreads positivity and the love of Jesus.
Yeah, Brian, it's streetwear with a message.
It's made out of high-quality material.
You betcha. And you, our listeners, can get an exclusive discount code. That's NRP116 that you can use at checkout for 15% off your order.
Go visit the website faithattire.co. That's faithattire.co.
Heyo.
Hey-o.
Brian, what's your song for this week?
I think, I thought about like, should we even do music?
Yeah, or, we kind of like, talked about that. But music is so powerful.
It is such a powerful tool at our disposal.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just one song right now that just, for me, is like an anthem of what is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Imagine. Oh, John Lennon.
John Lennon.
Thank you.
Well, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Wonderful song. Good choice.
Thank you, sir. Blake, what are you listening to?
So the other day I was, this was on Blackout Tuesday. I saw where the singer of Sum 41 posted an acoustic version of this song.
Foomp?
A foompa? A foompa. I saw a video of a foompa from the singer of Sum 41. But he posted an acoustic version of this song. Now, this song came out in 2002, but, you know, he was like, the lyrics still apply to this day and what's going on. And the acoustic version was really good. I actually should have pulled that up and played that one, but I'm going to play the original version of this. But this is Still Waiting by Sum 41.
So am I still waiting for this world to stop hating? Can't find a good reason, can't find hope to believe in.
Yeah, the acoustic version is a lot sweeter. But, lyrics are really good in that one.
What color was his hair when he sang that song?
At that time, I think it was jet black.
Jet black.
That guy changes hair colors.
Yeah. No.
Like you wouldn't believe. So we got some feedback.
Okay.
From the last episode. Mind you, the last episode was all about John Steingard. From Hawk Nelson, and we had some people that, you know, we actually had two comments in Spanish that I had to like translate on Instagram.
I never know when we have comments.
Yeah. One of them was a Bible verse,
a Bible verse because we need Bible verse?
Maybe.
Like we've done something wrong.
Yeah. But, Dave, commented on it, said, in the words of Bob Dylan, you got to serve somebody. Now he is serving someone/someone else or something else, himself, money, material things, who knows. But everyone serves someone or something. Interesting.
Hmm.
Jamie Coopier, mm-hmm. I guess is how you say that, on Instagram said that John has stated on a few occasions of how supportive most people are being, including the Christian community. That is good. I'm glad. What I saw was definitely not very supportive. People bashed him mm-hmm. beyond belief. Mm-hmm. Some people say he sounded like he was never truly a Christian to begin with. I don't know if I agree with that. It's like the guys from Under Oath. I think they were true Christians. Yeah. Right? I think they really believed in God. I think some of them probably still believe in God. It's just that they don't
in a different way,
and they don't want to associate with Christianity if that's what Christianity is. They're not a part of that. So, some more Bible verses. A lot of people are sending us Bible verses. Anyway,
I'm looking at it now.
You're looking at it. Yeah, it's like three different Bible verses on there. But, thank you for your comments on that episode. I hope you guys enjoyed that.
I wish I could read Spanish.
I had to translate one, and it was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be because I thought I could just copy and paste into like a translator on Google, and I had to individually type everything out in Spanish to be able to translate it.
I'm not doing that.
After the second comment, I was like, okay, thank you. But anyway, we got a message on Instagram from Heidi. And Heidi said that she would love to, I would love to hear a podcast on what you think about these types of websites. She sent us a link to something that was like, want an easy way to memorize Bible verses. And it looks like a temporary tattoo or something on someone's hands. It's kind of strange. Do they perpetuate the rules of being a good Christian, or do they really help people grow closer to God? I have always thought that just because you can memorize a Bible verse doesn't mean you're closer to God than someone who is not as familiar with a Bible verse.
No.
But
it's good to have scripture close to your heart.
Sure. But just because you can say it word for word doesn't put you on a different level than everyone else.
Yeah. I'm going to have to agree with you on that one, buddy. Yeah.
We'll check into that, though. Thank you, Heidi. Also on Instagram, Rebecca, we got a lot of feedback this week, said, "Hey, I just wanted to say thank you for doing the podcast." Smiley face.
Oh.
"I listen to every episode, and it's so interesting."
Wait a minute. Every
episode.
Oh, my Lord.
Every episode.
Man, she must have been quarantined for a
minute. Quarantine makes people do ridiculous crazy things.
Yes. Like listen to us.
In our entirety.
Especially in the beginning.
Oh, gosh.
Ugh,
yeah. Horrible. I even apologized to her. I was like, "I'm sorry about the quality of the old episodes. Please don't mind that." She said, "I listen to every episode, and it's so interesting for me because I am from Europe and I'm Catholic. So I now have an idea about Christianity in the USA."
From us.
From us. It's just from listening to you.
Rebecca,
I can say it's,
no.
Save yourself. And it's just from listening to you that I can say it's so different. And I didn't know that it is so different. The structure of the strictness and just everything. Every episode, I'm like, "Huh? What? Ah? What? You can't say."
You can't say that.
Yeah. Anyway, so, thank you. Greetings from Central Europe.
Oh,
thank
my
you,
God.
Rebecca.
Listen, Rebecca, we have tainted your view of,
sorry.
Of
I'm sorry
Christianity
for everything.
In the U.S. only because it is a tainted. It's tainted itself.
Yeah. Sorry. But thanks for listening. We do appreciate that.
Yeah, but just with everything, do your research.
Please.
Make sure we're not corrupting you.
Well, this is a ministry, so.
It is.
You have anything else to add, Brian?
No, but I just want to say thanks to the people who are communicating with us. That's
yeah,
awesome.
Thank you. We love the feedback.
Yeah.
Please send us more. Send us ideas. We have a few ideas now for future episodes. Trying to throw those together now. All right. Well, let's go out with a bang. Brian, take us out.
To find out more about the podcast, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We are at Not Religious Pod for all of our social media.
Please leave a rating and review wherever you can, whether that's on our Facebook page or on Apple Podcasts or wherever. We'll read your review right here on the show, whether it's good or bad. You can also send us messages like Heidi and Rebecca did on any of our social media. That includes our Instagram and our Facebook and Twitter, whatever. Send us kind words, hate mail. Never gotten any hate mail. No, I take that back. We do it every time. You got to text that time. Anyway, or just send us ideas for future episodes.
But if you do it in English.
Yeah,
go
please.
Check out our sponsors of the show. You can support us by supporting them. Just remember to use our promo codes at checkout for exclusive discounts that only you can get.
That's right. Go check out Where Words Fail, Music Speaks. That is the other podcast that I am on with my buddy James Cox. We are available on all major platforms, podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play.
Google Play.
Yes. Sources from this webisode,
this
podcast from this episode come from New York Times, USA Today, Mother Jones, Wikipedia, Christianity Today, and blackpast.org.
Not saying that we have anything against the Spanish language, but we just can't read it.
And it's hard to copy and paste.
Yeah.
I didn't do too well in Spanish in school.
I'm fluent in four languages. Spanish is not that.
My beautiful wife is very good at translating Spanish for me. She was not available at the time. So I had to do that one on my own. Anyway. All right. We will see you guys next time on the Not Religious Podcast. I have been Blake.
And I currently and always will be Brian.
Until science brings us.
Yes. Until Elon Musk does something in that regard.
All right. See you guys later.
Now more than ever, be nice to one
another.
Please,
God. Yep. Please, God.